Bible reading today is Philippians 1:1-6. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen to that.
I became a Christian in 1964. I went to Teachers College at Wagga Wagga. That's where the crows fly backwards. And I was invited to a fellowship tea at the local Baptist church. And God spoke to me quite clearly and showed me his love and his grace and his mercy. And I came out of that place a changed person. It was in 1964. Since then, I've had the privilege of serving the Lord in and through a number of Christian organisations. I can remember still getting up in the middle of the night and going down onto the beach for the Scripture Union Beach Mission and digging up sand and making a sand pulpit so that we could put on all sorts of various activities, dramas and storytelling and such. I can remember canoeing on the Shoalhaven River at a Scripture Union ISCF camp. Remember standing up and I shared with you in the Domain, preaching the gospel with gospel crusaders. So I've had the privilege, as I'm sure so of you, have been involved in Christian ministry over the years. But I must confess that I'm increasingly becoming aware of the fact that I am growing old. I've started to have nana naps in the afternoon. My memory is not what it used to be. I often walk into a room and I'm not quite sure why I'm there. I don't have the energy that I used to have as I was younger. And I have suffered a number of health problems, as I'm sure as we grow older we do. In some of the churches that Helen and I have been in, once you reach a certain age, you are not allowed to take an active part in the life of the church. And in some others, unless you're a member of the church, likewise you're not able to take a part. I'm grateful that that is not so here. I'm also realistic to know that because of our health and other reasons, perhaps we're not able to actively take part. Thus, I could be tempted as an individual to let others get busy, involved in the activities of the church, and retire gracefully and enjoy what others do. However, over the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking and reading, and I've become aware of the fact that Paul reminds me, and I've got there as old as I am, I won't tell you how old I am, of two things. That as a Christian, I need to continue to keep serving others. Does that make sense? Serving others. Let's read the scriptures. Let us not grow weary, and I've included just there in my old age, in well-doing, for in due time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunities, let us do good to everyone, and especially to the family of faith. Let's not grow weary in doing good. And don't give up. I remember talking some time ago in the church of the need for us to persevere and keep on growing and keep on working and keep on serving God. And I guess as I reflect on my own life, I need to keep on persevering. I don't know whether there's any Bible verse which says, "Neil, it's time for you to retire." Haven't found it yet. But I'm going to persevere and keep on going. I hope the Lord gives me the strength in my old age to keep on doing good, reaping the harvest and not giving up. And secondly, there's a picture of us doing good. And look, I'm grateful for so many people in the church here that have wonderfully and so, served us and encouraged us and provided for us in so many ways over the years that we've been here in Morisset. And secondly, no matter how old and mature I think I am, God has not finished with me yet. No matter how old and mature I think I am, God hasn't finished with me yet. Our next slide shows the verse that was read this morning, and I want to focus just on that last verse. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful promise that is. And there's a picture that goes with that. There's a picture of you, perhaps, as we continue to strive and go on in the things of God. I'd like to just show you and share with you a few thoughts from that passage in Philippians. May I take the liberty of suggesting to you that Paul is writing this letter to you here this morning. It was a personal letter to the church in Philippi, thanking them for a gift that he had sent to them while he was in prison and encouraging them in their Christian walk and Christian faith. He wrote to them and he called them saints. And doesn't that excite you? We are saints in Christ. Let's look at the verse. There's Paul writing in prison. Next slide, please. There we are. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. Paul could have said apostle. Paul could have said super Christian. But he didn't. He said Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Don't you? I know I need grace on a constant basis. Scriptures encourage me to come boldly into his throne of grace to receive grace and mercy. We need grace. So Paul is encouraging the people at Philippi and encouraging us this morning of the grace that is available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And peace. I did a lesson, that peace lesson in our books. And I struggled and the kids tried to understand the fact that the peace that God is speaking about is the peace with God that comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we were enemies with God, now we are friends with God, we have peace. And so Paul is writing to us this morning, say, you know, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul preached the gospel, and that brought many people from all different backgrounds into the church in Philippi. There were people like Lydia, who was extremely wealthy, dealer in purple cloth. There was the Philippian jailer and his family. There was that slave girl that went around harassing Paul at one stage or other. And there were many Gentiles. Do you know, as I look around, there are so many people here. It's because of the gospel that we are now sitting here in this church this morning, coming from all sorts of backgrounds, teachers and professional people, people that work in the home, hospitals and things of that sort. Why? Because the gospel brings people together. And Paul said in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing what the gospel does, doesn't it? Brings us together, no matter whether you're wealthy or poor. We're all one in Christ. And when we became Christians, he addressed them as saints. So we can be encouraged this morning that we are saints. Saints, people set aside for God's purpose. We come from those different backgrounds. We have different spiritual gifts. God has placed us in this body with different responsibilities. But we all have equal value to God, irrespective of the responsibilities we hold in this church. Paul wrote to the saints, and he spoke about the pastors and the lay people. And so here we are. We are all one in Christ. We are all saints. Turn to someone and say, you're a saint. You're a saint. Yes. Aren't you encouraged? You're a saint. Set aside for God's use. I'm encouraged that you and I are children of God. That your and my sins are forgiven. And we have the gift of eternal life. Don't you get excited by that? Don't you get excited by that? Yes. Paul is writing to us this morning and saying, be encouraged because you are a saint, a person that is loved by God unconditionally. He pours his love upon us, provides the grace that we need. And he wants us to have the peace of God in all the circumstances that we have in our daily lives. My second thoughts this morning is this. As I read this chapter and I think about it, Paul was grateful for the Philippian partnership, the Philippians in their partnership with him in the gospel. Our text, as we read it, was this: I thank my God for every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you all, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul speaks to us and said, we are saints. He says, secondly, you are partners in the ministry of the gospel. Paul was grateful for the people in Philippi. He was grateful for their prayers. He was grateful for their gift. He was grateful for their support. And you know, it's wonderful that we too can be thankful for each other, for the work and the ministry and the support that we can have. I sit at the back of my church in Sydney, I love to sit at the back and I love to see what all the young people are doing. My church is basically, I guess the average age is about 22. They come in and sit and they get excited during the worship. Their hands are raised. Love to see that. Love to see their interacting. And it's great to be able to just be excited that these young people like us are part of God's kingdom. You know, Paul talks about remembering them. And you know, I don't know how often Paul prayed for those people, but I'm sure there were times when the Holy Spirit brought their needs to him in prayer, and he so therefore set aside and prayed for them too. You know, we have that opportunity too, that the Lord will bring to our remembrance various people. And we have the wonderful opportunity of praying for them and their needs at that particular time. There's a story that was once told of a missionary in Africa, way in the deep dark thrones of Africa. And on a trip returning back from the city to their particular mission station, the particular missionary was confronted by lots of bandits. And she imagined that she would be attacked quite severely. But as she was praying at that particular time, these particular bandits stopped from advancing to her and turned and ran for their very life. It was years after, when she returned to Scotland, that she found at that particular time that she was confronted by the bandits, there were a number of people in that church that representing her were praying for her and for her safety, and therefore she was saved from what may have happened. We need to realise that we have the opportunity of praying for others. You know, that partnership is really important. We look at the next verse. When Paul prayed for the believers in Philippi, he was always with joy because of their partnership. You know, the secret of Paul's joy was founded in his relationship with God. And our joy, no matter what the circumstances are, ought to be found in our relationship with God. I'm constantly reminded that wherever we go, God is with us. God protects us. God is willing to guide us, and God is willing to empower us. Book of Philippians is great. Joy is the theme of the book in verses 1 to 30. It talks about joys in suffering. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 30, joy in serving. Chapter 3, 1 to 21, joy in believing. Chapter 4, 1 to 23, joy in giving. This concept of being partners in the gospel may and should give us great joy and great things. If we have a look at the next slide, please. This particular word, partnership, is this Greek word. I'm not going to try and do it, but there it is. It does speak of a close fellowship and sharing. If we have a look at the next slide, if that's possible. I love the picture of the body of Christ. I really get excited about it. In Corinthians, it talks about parts of the body, and we are actually parts of the body. You may be a hand, I don't know. You may be a foot, I don't know. You may be a mouth, you may be any part of that. But we're all parts of a body. And we're all close together because we need each other, don't we? You know, there are some that are suffering today in our church. And so we should all be conscious of that. there are others that are rejoicing today in our church, and we ought to be rejoicing with them. I remember years ago recently, I was doing some mowing in the lawn, and I ran into a tree. I have a problem running into a tree, and so I hit my head. If you look at my head, I've got all sorts of demon gadgets on it. When I hit my head, it was a hit. And you know, my whole body was affected by that hit. Do I make my point?
Yes.
The point simply is that one person in this body, like this, is affected, so we ought to be as well. We are partners together in the body of Christ. It's an exciting thought. We are part of the body of Christ. We share in fellowship. Let's have a look at the next slide, please. You know, we have the privilege of being in partners in spreading the gospel in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Book of Acts says that we're empowered to do that. What do I mean by Jerusalem? I mean Morisset. What do we do in Morisset? Liz is involved in scripture in Morisset. We can be a partner with her. There's the girls' brigade, the seniors group, the craft group, a group that's going to look after this wonderful part of the church down here. We can be partners with them and pray for them. We can pray about the group in Central Australia, those in Mozambique and in Africa and Thailand. We don't have to be there. But we can be partners with the Lord in the ministry in these places. Don't you get excited by that? We don't have to be praying for everybody everywhere else. But God will impress upon you those ministries that are important for you to share and become a partner in them in Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or to the ends of the earth. What a wonderful privilege. And how can we be excited that we are saints and we can be partners in the ministry of the gospel? My third point, and I'm almost there. I can hear the sighs going on. Paul promised that God would complete his work in the lives of the believer in Philippi. Our next slide. So that's it. Good. Well done. Being confident, and I think this word means absolutely no shadow of doubt, God is going to continue to do it. Of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Our next slide shows us why. Well, I believe an almighty God, a God who began a work in your life, will finish that work, the work that he's begun. Scriptures are really good. Our next scripture speaks about in Ephesians, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The Lord will work out his plans in my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Well, how does God do that? He's going to do it. Let's have a look at how he does it. Our next slide. Firstly, we are justified. My verse says this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be justified means that we have been declared righteous in God's sight. Justification occurred in my life in the past and yours when we accepted Christ as Lord, Saviour and friend of our lives. And here's a picture to remind us of what Christ did on the cross. Secondly, we are sanctified, or we're being sanctified. Thessalonians says this, "My God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." To be sanctified means to be set apart for God's purpose and to grow in holiness. Sanctification has to do with the present. God is continuing to do his work in our lives through his Holy Spirit, changing you to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we were justified, now we are being sanctified. Our picture comes up. And thirdly, we will be glorified. And we know that in all things God works for the good to those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. And those predestined he also called, those he called he also justified, those he justified he also glorifies. To be glorified means to be perfected in holiness, far removed from the power and the presence of sin. Glorification points to the future. When Christ returns, the dead in Christ will be raised, and those believers that are alive will be taken up and transformed and be glorified in God's presence. Aren't you excited about that? God is doing his work. We are justified, we're being sanctified, and I'm looking forward to being glorified when Jesus comes back. When I look at the verse, there it is. Being confident of this, that he that began a good work in you, justification, will carry it on to completion, sanctification, until the day of Jesus Christ, glorification. Our next slide is a slide of encouragement. God says to you this morning, young and old, we are saints. We have a role in the partnership of the gospel. Though we may be old, we can share in that. And that God is going to complete the work that he started in you that day when you were born again. And when he comes, he'll be transformed into the image of his Son. I want just to encourage you this morning in conclusion that we are saints, that we have the privilege of being partners in the work of the gospel, and God will continue his work in us until he returns. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this letter of Philippians. We thank you that Paul wrote to the church as he writes to us this morning to encourage us as we continue in the faith. He calls us saints. He calls us partners in the gospel. And Father, he encourages us that God hasn't finished with us yet. Even though we may be old, even though we may be incapable, he's going to continue his work until he comes again. And for that we are excited and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this morning we just pray that as we leave this place that you may empower us with your Spirit, give us an opportunity to refresh our relationship with you and go into the world recognizing that we are your saints, recognizing that we have an opportunity of sharing in the gospel message. We are partners with you. And finally, realizing that you will continue to work by your Spirit in our life, guiding us, protecting us, empowering us to live the sort of life that you want us to live. And for this, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.